This is A Lost Plot, the podcast where we explore meaning in movies together.
Hello, universe! It's your boy back with another episode of A Lost Plot. As always, I'm your host, Maverick, here with our great guest back again. Hello and welcome, Avalon.
Hello, hola, konnichiwa, and leho.
We're going to review a semi-oddly recent release, a release on Netflix and a limited release in theaters a couple weeks ago, Leave the World Behind. But before we get into that, just wanted to say a quick nod to some of our listeners. Now, we really appreciate those reviews you guys are bringing in for us. It makes a big difference for the pod. We had the note from Big Boy 354 was his handle on the podcast app, where he left us a review that was talking about how he appreciates we break down from the beginning to the end. Our show dissects the true motives and hidden character development for these famous movies. Great show. So thank you, Big Boy 354, whoever you actually are. We appreciate your support. If you want to leave us a review, we're always looking for those. Find us at the bottom of your podcast app on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you're finding us. Leave us a review. We really appreciate it. On to the actual content of today. Leave the World Behind was written by Sam Esmail and Rumen Alam. It is directed by Sam Esmail and stars Julia Roberts as Amanda Sanford, Ethan Hawke as Clay Sanford, Mahershala Ali as G.H. Scott, and more. But before we get into the details, Avalon, how did you rate Leave the World Behind?
Well, my review, my rating ends up being about 4.05.
Okay, there you go. I was very curious. I know we ended up watching this one together, and he was very heated when we finished this movie. My rating was at a 4.25, so pretty close on this one. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see exactly how we ended on this, but we'll of course get into it. Now, one thing I will say, I'm not sure how Avalon is planning to discuss this movie. It's hard to ignore spoilers. If you're planning on watching this movie, I would not listen to the rest of this podcast before watching it, because there will be spoilers for sure. Avalon, would you say this movie is worth a watch? Or would you just say, go ahead and listen to the review and move on?
I mean, it depends on your personality. I mean, I think there's interesting things about this movie, but I don't know if it deserves a watch per se. I'm still conflicted about certain things I saw in this movie. So there are some interesting things they did in this movie, which I appreciated, but there are things in this movie that just did not make any sense. And I just torqued me off. So I was like, okay, it was one of those things. Yeah. Like, I'm conflicted, so I'm really not sure whether I'd recommend this movie to anyone or not. It's like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great in my book.
Sounds fair. So you want to give the audience a summary of this movie?
Yeah, so Leave the World Behind is about a family who decide to make a, it's like almost a spur of the moment, like, vacation, where it's like, and it's not clear how long the vacation is supposed to be, like maybe a few days, a day, or something like that. But it's clearly spur of the moment. They go out to this rental home, sort that's supposed to be like at the edge of nowhere kind of thing, like away from society.
Right.
But then while they're there, strange things start happening, like electronics aren't working, like the internet, Wi-Fi, phone services, things are falling apart. Two strangers, G.H. Scott and his daughter, they appear at the door as the real owners of the house. And it's clear that things are going on in the world, and it's like they're trying to figure out what's going on, more or less, as they're like forced into this place of isolation.
It's a pretty good summary of the movie without revealing anything, so kudos on that point. It's almost like they show up and they give the worst Airbnb experience you can ever have. where the owners of the house start to intrude on the whole situation. Yeah. So what did you think of the opener? Did you think the opener was one that really got you invested? You have this character, Amanda, and she goes, "Hey, honey, we're going on vacation for this weekend far away because I'm just pissed."
I'll be honest, it didn't really catch my attention. It was like, okay, like, spur of the moment decision. And I didn't honestly believe, like, I feel like of all the things to do, like, because you're pissed at society, like, I don't know. It feels like that's the weirdest reason to go on a vacation.
That's so funny. I feel like, go ahead.
I mean, it's more believable, like, we haven't spent time together, let's reconnect as a family kind of thing, like given other reasons, like kids are going to school or something, like they could have given a dozen other reasons, and It's like, I felt like those would have been more believable besides her reason, but then again, with that being said, it does give a little bit of insight into Amanda's character, that opening, where it's like, she's kind of a selfish, self-serving person.
Yeah, and she really dislikes other people, especially when she can't control what's going on. You can tell right from the outset the way that she's just, oh, I set everything up, and, you know, oh, I'm being the loving wife, but also we're doing this, you know, kind of thing is what you get the impression of right from the start. And so they set off her character pretty, they firmly establish her in like the first scene and establish the husband in a lot of ways too. I thought that it was a pretty solid scene. It wasn't anything that was just like over the moon. Oh, this is amazing. You know, I wasn't thinking of some Mission Impossible where there's a gun to the head in the first scene kind of thing going on. No, that wasn't this, but it was, I thought, a great way to introduce the characters in a more natural environment, because this is an everyday type of universe that we're in. And I guess I did resonate with the concept. I thought she grated against me as a character personally, but I am the kind of guy that it's like, oh, I'm pissed. I will 100% just go out into the middle of nowhere and spend the weekend there. That's 100% something I'd love to do. So I appreciated that in its own way. They were kind of highfalutin in the house that they rented. So I don't know if I'd do that, but whatever. Speaking of Amanda, did you think that she was a compellingly flawed main character? What did you think?
I didn't think she was super compelling, but I didn't think she was, but she was flawed. I mean, she was like, I don't know, like, she was definitely this flawed character who was like the wife, the mother of this household. She wants to get away from everything. She's obviously this. And because she's such a selfish character in some ways, like, even though, like, even in the scenes in her family, it's like Clay has more, like, he's noticing the kid. He's like, he's trying to keep the family together. He's kind of like this more empathetic character where he's like, he's trying to keep, like, do what's best for the family, take care of the kids and that thing. So it's like, you see him, like, looking out for everyone and, like, trying to, I don't know, like, he's trying to be a good father and husband. And, like, she more or less is doing bare minimum. Like, I think the only thing I think she did for other people in that opening scene is, like, she got him cigarettes. Like, or something. Like, it's the only scene that was thing. Is like, okay. It was just, like, because of how much she was doing for herself, I was like, she didn't resonate. Like, I didn't see a reason to root for her as a character, I guess. It's, like, because of what she was doing. It's like, okay.
Yeah. She is very much a Scrooge-ish type of character. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Is there a way you would have done that if you were the one writing this story, right? Is there a way you would have maybe built her a little differently so that there was a little more of that empathy from the audience?
Probably. Like, probably established more, like, her perspective on life. Like, maybe shown maybe a montage or a few scenes of, like, her life, workplace, before the vacation. Like, give us a reason why she's pissed, I guess. Like, give her, like, show us why she's upset at society so we can relate to her and understand why she's doing the spur of the moment vacation. Like, maybe show some of that. Like, you don't have to do a lot of time on that, just like a few, like a minute or half a minute of montage clips, just giving us an idea of what her life is. And then that would help us relate a little bit more to her. Even if she is the selfish kind of character, it's like, okay, you understand why she's doing this, why she wants to get out from society.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, that would have done a whole lot for her character, I felt, feel like. Like, but they didn't do that. It just was like, you start with them leaving for vacation.
I mean, I personally like the idea of a despicable character being the main character.
I don't have a problem with a despicable character being the main character. I just feel like if you're going to make them compelling, like this movie as a whole didn't give me a whole lot of reason to root for her as a character. Like, I had more reason to root for Clay, her husband, than for her. And I did like Clay's character a whole lot. Like, he was fully developed and, like, he's seriously trying, even though he knows he's, like, out of his element in some scenes.
No, I'd agree with that. I think that you are right that they could have made her a more compelling or a more relatable main character. I think that that's a worthy thing to note. Are the side characters, such as Clay and HG and all of those, are they compelling and have their own motives for being involved in this conflict?
I don't know. Like, the side characters, I felt almost stock, some of them. Like, the daughter and the son felt like the typical stock, like, brother-sister, like, characters. Are like, okay, there isn't really a whole lot to differentiate them from other brother-sisters in other movies and shows. It's like, you see things about them, but it's not like they're not unique or different as characters, per se. I mean, maybe Rose's obsession with the show Friends, but that's, like, the only thing that...
Yeah, Rose is the daughter. Yeah, that was a little silly, I thought. But
so, I mean,
because it was such a plot point in the story, too. Oh, gosh. Yeah. But yeah, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, I mean, G.H. Scott, I was tempted to call him a main character because of his screen time, but he is really more of a side character. He is developed. Like, he is a fully developed character, I'd say. But he's, like... But his motives are mysterious and unclear for a good section of the movie.
Right.
Where it's like, but I mean, in a way, it makes sense where it's like, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of mysteries. So it's more or less him kind of hiding some of his background, some of the reasons why they're out there. It makes sense when he finally reveals it. It's like, he's kind of scared. He's like, he doesn't exactly know what to say or what to believe or what is happening.
Yeah.
So he kind of has this, he is a fully fledged character in that regard, because, like, he does have motive, he does have reason for doing what he does.
I'd agree. I think that there was a lot of really good, especially for HG, somewhat for Ruth, and for some of the other characters that aren't really side characters, but simply pop up, such as Kevin Bacon or the Spanish speaking lady who shows up for one scene. You know, they it's not certain what their involvement is and why they're there, and so this makes them add a level of mystery and intrigue to the overall plot line, that sets it off, I think, in the right direction at the beginning of the movie. I didn't really think of the kids when I was thinking of this, so that's a good point as well. The setting. Did you think the setting was a believable setting? I mean, it's set in our world. Does that mean it's believable?
It should be. Honestly, there are several scenes in this movie, like, towards the beginning, I was just like, wait a frickin' second here. And it just was like, I'm not sure if this would count as the beginning, but when the oil tanker crashes on the beach, and they kind of say, oh, this nav system went faulty or whatever. And I was just like, wait, hang on a second. That is a massive ship. I don't know much about boats and sailing, but for a ship that size, you had to have at least a dozen people on that ship. And if something goes wrong like that, you had to have people who could do something, like, to keep the boat from crashing on the beach. It was like, that seemed absolutely unbelievable when I saw that scene. I was like, and that was their explanation. It's like, what? Hang on. That doesn't make any sense.
That's a good point. I think that I thought of many other situations that were more questionable.
Although there's plenty of scenes that are questionable in this movie. Like, that's not the only one. That was just the first one that came to mind because it's early on.
I didn't even think of that one. Because I thought more of, okay, the Teslas crashing. And then I think multiple upon multiple scenes of them having the main character is almost having a tunnel vision, and then just barely seeing the thing in front of them, and then the camera would pan out, and you'd see this vast scene of destruction, and you would go, hold on. No one would have missed all the dead bodies when he pulled out this watch from the sand, or all of these crashed cars and the plumes of smoke coming out from the chaos here. Like, this is just a little unbelievable on that point.
No, it was absolutely unbelievable. Like, they are trying to frame these shots as like, oh, they're hiding things from the audience. Like, oh, you don't see this yet. And then you see it, like, you're supposed to see what the characters are seeing. And it's like, the characters would not have missed this. Like, they would have seen that first before they saw that. And it just was like, okay, this... It was just so stupid how they shot it and how they, like, presented the scenes. It was like, okay, it wasn't realistic at all. If anything, it made it laughable. It made it comedic, if anything. So
yeah, there was a couple times where one or both of us did bust up laughing because it was a little odd.
Yes.
And of course, I think there were some times
and that has nothing to do, by the way, with the deer. Like, the deer just added a whole nother layer of unbelievability to this movie, which is like, what? Why do we keep seeing deer in this movie? Like, why do they keep showing up? Like,
well,
there was no good explanation for that. It was like, and it had no bearing on the plot either.
Like, that's something we'll get to in a minute, but that's 100%. That, I think that's the biggest issue with this movie. But the explanation, the believability of the world, there was a sense in which they would provide some explanations, right? So I didn't cut it out completely and say, oh, the setting's completely unbelievable, because they tried to provide some explanation, right? And say, okay, this is why this exists in this universe. But you would look at some of those explanations and go, that just doesn't make sense. Like, you have to be pretty hardcore conspiratorial to go, oh, the microwaves or whatever it was that was causing, and this is way later in the movie, but the microwaves that are causing the sun's teeth to fall out was so just out there that you're going, okay.
Well, it was like the microwave radiation in the sound, which was like, it was like, they're trying to give this like strange explanation. I was like, wait, what? Like, oh
yeah, it sounded like some QAnon conspiracy theory coming out in a movie as like a legitimate thing. I'm like, okay, this is not, this just, there is no, I'm sorry, this doesn't make any sense. But and maybe there's evidence out there that actually says these things are true. I don't know, but just the way they said it in these movies did not provide a solid framework for us to believe as an audience that this is actually how the universe works, especially because it's supposed to be set in our universe.
Yeah. Now, it's supposed to be our world. It's supposed to be believable. And it doesn't, like, when you do things like that and it doesn't logically follow, it's not believable anymore.
Well, I'm really curious to get to the middle of the movie, so I don't want to stick too much more on the beginning, but did you think that there was a compelling quote-unquote villain in this movie?
So, that's a good question, and I had trouble answering that for a little bit, because the reality is, if there is a villain, they're never shown.
Right.
It's like, whoever is organizing this chaos, like, it's implied that there is a villain causing the chaos around the world, like, causing this, like, these isolation, destroying, like hacking technology, more or less, but it's never clear who these people are. Like, it's implied, oh, it might be the country of Iran, it might be someone in the Middle East, terrorists, or it might be China, it might be Korea. It's like, like, it gives all these like possibilities, but it never settles on one, and it's like, it's intentionally vague. Even at the end of the movie, that's never answered who it is.
That's a good point that they never actually answer that. I know we haven't done a movie's worth watching deep dive discussion on villains yet. I know we plan to at some point. We have touched briefly on it on different podcast episodes, but the idea of villains is generally they have some sort of relatable motivation that you can understand, or they go down this super deep, like, mysterious, unknown, evil type of thing is generally what you see. This moved more toward that second one with the unknown, mysterious, evil, and it was almost like nature in some ways, because so much of nature was in the chaos. So I almost tagged it as this is nature against them and them trying to survive in the midst of nature throwing all this chaos at them. And I was still kind of stuck with that at the end, even though you knew there was some malicious actor out there, but it was more of a general, almost you could say quasi, like not religious, but like a quasi divine negative intervention in their life that they were just trying to deal with. Which kind of makes sense because this whole perspective is a apocalyptic scenario, right? Like a doomsday scenario. And so it's told from their perspective. And at the end of the day, kind of what you said earlier is we don't know who the evil that is causing this chaos is. And in a real world scenario, if we were in an apocalypse, would we know who the malicious actors actually were in this situation at the end? Probably not. So I didn't hate that they didn't explain that. And I thought that the villain...
Well, I didn't either. I didn't actually give it... I mean, I kind of just left it middle of the road for the villain compelling thing. I just was like... I mean, we didn't get like a full-fledged villain, not something that's like relatable or given a reason why, but it wasn't like the mystery wasn't bad. It just was like, okay, like, or for the scenario and story they were telling, it just was like, okay, like we never know who it is. So,
well, and I just thought that was interesting because I don't usually when there's some sort of vague evil, you know, whether that's Iron Man 3 or that's some other movie where there's a mysterious villain, or you know, even the Dark Riders in the Lord of the Rings just have this aura about them with this mysterious, you don't know the evil here. Eventually that comes to light and you know the truth to some degree or another. In this case, you just don't know that, which I thought was interesting. But I don't know that it adds a lot to anyone who's not a movie critic. I mean, you know, like, I feel like I'm the only person who will find that interesting.
Okay, in actually, you just solidified something in my mind just now about this movie. This movie is good for people who like to think about certain things, who like to, like, analyze certain things, maybe even, like, conspiracy theories or something like that. Like, I mean, this would be a kind of movie that they would enjoy, in a way. But for the average moviegoer, like, who isn't critical about this kind of thing, they're probably going to be left confused by this movie. They're not going to be like necessarily enjoy it. They're like, what was the point of all that? I mean, that's literally what they're
that's
think.
So that's so dude, because I even thought that I kind of like parts of it. Okay, that's so true. That's hilarious. Would you actually do something different with the villain, like, or with the enemy that they face? As much as I disliked it, I don't know that I would put my chips there in regards to what I would fix.
If all the things this movie needed changes in, I don't know if that was what it needed changes in. Like, that was not the one point I would have changed. Like, there would have been other things I would have changed, maybe. But maybe, I don't know. Like, I would not have changed how the villains or whatever the, like, whatever it would be, nature or some foreign bad actor... I would not have changed necessarily that by much, maybe a little, but
no. And that, I think that's a pretty solid take. The Amanda as a character, does she stand for an ideal, and is her goal in this movie something important for her?
It's hard to say. I mean, maybe she stands for her family, like pushing her family, like maybe like the only thing I could come up with, and this is kind of Clay and Amanda's family together, was kind of this whole idea of like unity, maybe, or like they're kind of trying to stay together throughout all this. So like that was the only ideal that really pushed through if they stood for anything.
Well, and I thought of something similar. I almost extended it to the idea of like caring for the people outside of your family and learning to like work together with other people might have been the message here. But even that wasn't super clear, especially because, I mean, you have that little monologue at the end with Amanda and Ruth when they discuss, oh, like how much they hated each other or whatever, why you are so angry at people in the world and blah, blah, blah. And that leads to some transformation. So I don't want to say there's nothing here, but it was a little a little weak on this point for sure.
No, I agree. Like, I noted that, or was like, that was the only real character transformation we got in this movie was between Ruth and Amanda at the very end. Well, because they're both very harsh with each other, like antagonistic when they first meet. And like over the course of the movie, they kind of change. Like, they don't change a whole lot. And it's like, as you said, it is very weak. But it's like, that's the only transformation there is in this movie for character.
So if you watch the movie, the music as a whole sets a tone that this is a situation that is life threatening, right? At least everything in the movie is geared to make you feel like somebody's gonna die, right? So there is a sense in which that there is almost like a goal of, oh, she's going to save her family. And that is part of the conflict later in the movie. But at the beginning, she's just, Amanda, the main character, is super pissed off that she's not getting her dream vacation. And that's what's important for her life. And as a motivation, I thought that was pretty pathetic, especially because even her own husband was like, hold on, this is a little too much. Let's be nice to these people who own the house we're staying in, you know, all this stuff. So I think this is maybe one of those points where, like you said earlier, if they had brought in some other previous experiences with Amanda or something, some sort of montage that explained why she was such a bitter, angry woman, that would have made more sense, but it wasn't strong. So yeah, I don't know if you have more to say on that.
No, and that's pretty much sums up what I was gonna say.
Well, what did you think of the heightening the tension in the middle of the movie? Did they consistently throw the main characters in a worse situation as the story progresses?
I mean, because it's so unclear what's happening, it's hard to say that they are being put into a worse situation. Mm-hmm. It's like there was like more chaos is coming out. Like, you're just seeing more and more of the world like in chaos. Like, they gradually begin to realize what's happening. It's not like they're more in danger necessarily as the movie progresses. There are a few scenes where people like where upfront conflicts almost happen. Like, the only thing that like, I mean, obviously when the son's teeth start falling out, it's like he's like clearly sick with something. That's the only scene where like someone's life is clearly like someone's health is at least on the line, maybe their life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that of course leads to the confrontation with Kevin Bacon's character, which I forget his name. I think, it's Danny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and there are scenes where like, I did like how they were cutting, like, even though the framing was awful, like there are certain scenes, like the cutting back and forth between like different people, like while certain things were going on, it did create a certain sense of tension in certain scenes. Mm-hmm. Even though you didn't know what was happening in some of them, it was just like, okay, like it helped make things feel tense, like the way they were cutting it back and forth. So, and they had that music playing in the background for those scenes. It was like, okay, like I did appreciate the way they cut that, even though what it left us with was stupid in some of the cases.
Oh gosh. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of that sentiment. I'd agree. I mean, this is one of those movies. Generally, I don't like talking about the cinematography because it doesn't generally play a whole lot into the story. In this case, the cutting, the music, all of that was very helpful in adding to the tension of this movie, which might speak very poorly about the plotline itself. But in this case, these other elements actually added to it in a very positive way, I want to say.
I did want to touch on one thing you mentioned about the music. I do slightly disagree with you about some of it, because some of the songs that were played at certain points in the movie just seemed random. It was almost like the director chose some of his playlist songs, especially towards the beginning of the movie.
His favorite hits.
His favorite songs, just like played them at certain points. It's like, I don't know why you played this song here. Like, okay, it doesn't feel cohesive with the rest of the movie.
I wasn't thinking of that specifically. That's a fair point. I was thinking more of the suspenseful music, which at first it feels extremely melodramatic at the beginning when they're playing this music, and then they leave you without any fulfillment of that. And so you feel like they're building up to something. and it helped to add tension in a situation where there was none. Mm-hmm. And that's more of what I was referring to. But you're right. There was the weird music playlists that it's like a modern thing right now where you'll play popular music in these movies and people are like, oh, I know that song, da 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 da, you know, and that's not actually, I don't think it added anything to the movie. Unlike other movies like Guardians of the Galaxy, where it has a very specific, meaningful purpose to some degree, where it marks in some ways an era that the main character is going through and like marks their family and his relationship to his past and stuff like that. Like that's very meaningful with the music and also fun.
Well, it's part of his character in that movie where it's like the music, the songs played, like they establish like who they relate exactly to who Peter Quill is as a character. The songs in this movie, they don't exactly show any character development. They don't relate to any of the characters. It's just like background music for certain scenes and it doesn't fit with everything else that's going on in the movie. Some of the songs. Yeah. It's just weird.
Yeah, there's no reason for Julia Roberts to be listening to this song. It doesn't do anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is the part of the movie that really stuck out to me as the biggest issue in my mind, just because there was so much of this, oh my goodness, something bad is happening, something bad is going to happen. Okay, this bad thing, this generic bad thing will happen, such as a plane crashing or a boat running on shore, or what do you call that? I'm missing the word right now.
But I think it's just beaching itself.
Yeah, so, you know, multiple of these generic, terrible world events happening. You see a nuclear bomb go off in the distance. But there's nothing tangible that affects our main characters' lives. And that was more of where I got off the train, because this train was promising something bad, and then every time it was almost like nothing actually happened. And then you have little spoiler of spoilers, she puts the DVD of Friends in, finally gets to watch the last episode of Friends, and then it's over. And then I just sat there and was like, wait a second, so nothing bad actually happened. I mean, honestly. And so, you know, I was always waiting for that payoff, you know. Okay, so they're figuring it out, you know, and it's weird because there's a strong tension between the characters, right? No one knows what's going on. You have HG and Clay and Amanda and Ruth. Oh, yeah, GH, you're right. You got all these characters and they're in conflict with one another and they're like freaking out because they don't know what's going on. And, you know, GH has a gun. And he's hiding it. Why does he have a gun? And, you know, all of these different things going on. And then at the end, you're like, oh, they were all just really freaked out. And nothing bad actually happened. And so you go, okay.
Nothing bad happened to them specifically. Like, it almost happened. But, like, I guess you could say they almost got in a car crash with the Teslas.
Yeah.
And the son got sick.
But then they get him pills and he's fine.
Yeah, and then I guess the mom and Ruth almost get, like, attacked by deer.
Yeah, but then she didn't.
Yeah.
I wish they had stopped her. Okay, never mind. But, like, you know, nothing actually bad happened in this movie. And so you go, okay, so they built up all of this tension, but there was never any payoff. You know, and that's where you go, okay, oh my goodness, something bad is going to happen. Something bad is going to happen. Something bad is going to happen. And not only do you drop the floor out, but you also turn out all the lights. So they're plunging into darkness. You know, that kind of concept of making it worse than you can imagine is what you really should be trying to do in these scenes. And it was the opposite of that, where nothing happened at all. And so you were just consistently waiting for something to occur that never occurred. I didn't love that. Would you, if you were writing this, how would you change that?
You're right. There should have been a payoff to the end. Like, there should have been, like, something bad should have happened. But I don't know. It's like, because of how this movie was played out, there's a part of me that's not even sure how I would, like, play it out believably. where it's just like, because I'd want to rechange how things were done earlier on in the movie. So like, I probably would introduce something later on, but I don't know what I would put in without knowing what I changed at the beginning. Because it's like, there are so many problems. Because like, the movie builds, I mean, even though the movie builds on itself in a way, where it's like, it does, like, the scenes later on do build on what happened before. Some of it doesn't make sense, but it still builds on itself. And it's like, you have to kind of start at the beginning and rework it from the ground up.
Yeah.
So, and I haven't spent a whole lot of time thinking, like, how would I rework this movie? I just is like, okay, this is, I could see the problems and I know, like, what needs to change, but how would I change it? You would need to, like, give me a few hours to, like, rethink this whole movie. And
sure.
Like...
That, I think that's a fair point. I think the only two things that I think of right off the bat that it's like, okay, you clearly missed an opportunity there is, let's just say, the Tesla situation, right? Even though I thought that was really weird how they just happened to be either a lot of them are crashed, but then not all of them are crashed. And those ones just happen to be coming in at you like Subway Surfers, you know, like what are you, just dodging them. It was so, I think that's a scene where they promised that potentially, okay, a Tesla is going to crash into this, into the back of their car. And if they had done that, and then the daughter gets really hurt or the son gets really hurt, and all of a sudden now they need to get to the hospital, that is a situation where this, it got way worse. You know, they did have to raise the stakes. They have to find a situation out. And I think that's the first thing that comes to mind. They could have simply done that, and it would have made the movie way more interesting. I don't know how you would resolve it at the end then, considering how they ended it, but that would have instantly added actual stakes to the movie. The other thing is that they should have done something with the animals. Like, they promised so much with the deer. They promised so much with all these random nature things going on. And also that shed where someone was sleeping on the ground. Why didn't you just do something with that? I don't know. That was, like, there were so many scenes where it's like, you made a promise of some degree, a Chekhov's gun that you cocked and never went off. And that was, that was just waiting to happen and it never happened. So I think they had a lot potentially there. They just never did anything with it.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is the other reason I'm having trouble thinking of how I'd rework it is because I think this movie did have a point. This movie did have a message per se, but, and how you would keep that message while also adding, changing those parts of the movies, it's like, I don't know how you would do that, but...
So, just kind of going to that, what do you think that that message was?
I mean, if you look at this movie as a whole, like, you look at the conflicts, the characters, their interactions and everything, it's clear that the main ideas of this movie is that divisions and, like conflicts lead to... can escalate and become like civil war kind of situation where it's like the idea is that if you're unified, you won't like if you try to unify with other people, you won't like go into conflict more or less. It's like, I guess like division can lead to destruction and civil war. Cause that's the whole idea of the enemy is like this unknown villain is like, they're playing on the isolation and fear of ordinary people. Where it's like they're isolating everyone, they're spreading misinformation and like creating this scenario of like shock and like fear and like heightening everyone's like paranoia more or less, and then escalating it to the point where people just break into conflict with each other, with people, and it's like where literally New York is being bombed and like people are on the streets apparently fighting because you hear gunfire going off in the distance. So I mean, like, I feel like the point, because of the reconciliation and like the scenes that take place, I feel like that was the main point of the movie. It was almost like they're trying to push this message through. Like that was the idea of this movie, but it was so poorly done because of what you like the scenes, how they did it. The storytelling was terrible at some points. Right. I mean, the closest thing that came to mind is like, this is almost like a Christian movie, like from a few, like a decade ago, where it's like, they're just trying to push a message through, like without thought to the story.
I see it now that you said it. I hadn't thought about that before. Yeah, that's interesting. It didn't strike me as obviously as it did you, but I do, it's very strong. So I see what you're saying with that, because they're trying to reconcile with Danny or whatever the Kevin Bacon's character is. And they're also trying to reconcile with each other and make sure that they can make it through this and all of that kind of stuff. And there's clear claims that, oh, this person, especially with Ruth's character, where she goes, oh, you know, what's his name? Clay is just a dirty man. And, oh, they just hate us because we're black and all of these other things that were just, you know, clearly points of division. And GH was pretty much going like, let's try to reconcile through all of this. And then Clay gets on that boat too with Danny and all of these things where it's a situation of let's try to be united in the middle of this chaos, which I, you know, that's not a bad message, but it definitely is when you're so pointed on the message that everything else kind of is built to support that rather than to support the story, that makes it hard to buy the message.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, when we were watching, I don't know how you felt when the teeth started falling out, which is definitely the most, the quote unquote worst thing that happens in this movie. But when I watched that, because nothing else bad had happened, there was a part of me that was given the impression that this was just thrown in there to add stakes when they didn't really have stakes. So yeah, I do get the idea that the message was being served by the plot rather than vice versa. But go ahead.
Yeah. No, and I agree with you. Like the whole teeth falling out thing was kind of just random. I mean, as was the, I mean, like so many of the things in this movie was random, like the deer constantly showing up, the threat of the like deer in the final scene with Ruth and Amanda. Like some of it was just random. It didn't make a whole lot of sense why it was there. Like it wasn't, and it wasn't like you could manipulate these things to like, I mean, the Tesla thing, the boat thing, I guess there was some explanation, like, okay, like, hackers or something. But it just was like, how do you hack a deer? Like, how do you bring 100 deer to this one location? And, like, like, it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it was a weird, vague, oh, the radio waves or something are messing up the migration patterns of the deer. And that goes, okay, well, that still doesn't explain why you have hundreds of deer deciding they might want to trample these two random women in the woods.
Or even why they're all in this one location in particular, necessarily.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Was there any big revelations or surprise endings in this movie?
I mean, the only thing I could think of is G.H. Scott's revelation, like, kind of his backstory, more or less. I mean, not his backstory, but it's like his, like, background with his client he mentions, where it's like, who was like the guy from the Pentagon. And he mentions that they had this like defense, like strategy, like when he realizes that cause J. Scott clearly is the one who puts all of this together, where it's like, okay, like this is a intentional, like a plot by someone to turn us against each other, to turn the US into a civil war battleground, to turn us against each other and weaken us.
Right.
So, like, he's the first person to kind of realize that. And it's, like, his backstory, like, he kind of has these, like, mini revelations throughout the movie where it's, like, this is, like, lead, like almost like it's supposed to be evidence. Mm-hmm. The problem is some of the points he makes were almost laughably unbelievable. And some of them were almost like, okay, that was, like, it's a theory. It isn't necessarily solid fact. It's, like, I don't know. Like, it makes it hard to digest and say, yeah, that's a solid revelation or solid evidence for what you're saying.
Sure. What are you thinking of specifically when you say that?
I mean, cause they don't give it evidence for the villain, I guess. How's the other thing? Like since they don't actually show the villain, it's hard to like pinpoint, say this is what's happening. When the guy from the Pentagon, like when he mentions like his experience the day before coming to their house, or he talks to the guy over the phone and he's like, clearly like, that's supposed to be like, oh, this is hint, hint, nod, nod information. Like, the guy at the Pentagon knows something, but instead of like trying to save the US or anything, he's like fleeing the country or whatever. Right. And it's just like, it's just very like, okay, why would that happen? for one thing.
Yeah, and I guess the other question is if the U.S. government knew ahead of time that they were going to be attacked, wouldn't they try to do something to stop it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see where that's coming from now. That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that too deeply either. Maybe I was just being naive. I didn't really feel like there was any big revelation in regards to that, though, because even though you know the enemy, you don't know who the enemy is, you still, in a pretty generic sense, based on the early on revelation that there's some sort of hacking going on, that there's some sort of enemy agent trying to cause chaos, if not war, in the United States. And so the fact that it's more organized and that it's against the government itself is not, I think, that much of a change from where we initially start off. I don't know. I didn't think it was that much of a world changer in regards to a revelation.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, it wasn't like a strong revelation. It was almost like these mini revelations that were like, they kind of changed the story a little bit, but not too much. And I was like, and they didn't have that much, like, they didn't have a lot of weight behind them. So it was like, I don't know. There were supposed to be big revelations, but they really weren't. So.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point.
Also, his revelation about, like, his, like, insight into the stock market, like, that whole scene was laughably stupid. It was just like,
oh my gosh.
Okay, so
point.
You're telling me that if you are into the stock market, you can predict the future. Like, that's essentially what he was saying. Like, if you,
that's,
like, follow
that's
stocks.
That's what people in the stock market like to think, yeah.
Yeah. like you can tell exactly when disasters and apocalypses are going to happen. And it's like, okay, like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense here.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of people who make wrong bets on the stock market all the time. Yeah, I did not think that was, unless you have insider trading information, which in this case he kind of did with the Pentagon guy, you're not going to know, like, that type of stuff. Yeah, unless we come up with much more complex models than we do currently. But as of now,
not that you can't predict things. Okay, just to be clear, it's not like you can't predict things with the stock market or the economy. Like, sure, you can predict things with the market and the economy just by seeing the rise and fall of stocks. I agree with that part of it. And you can kind of tell, like, get a feel for that kind of thing. But to get a feel for, like, world events and, like, apocalypses and political things, like, you can't predict that. You can't predict when, like, a hurricane is going to come down on a country or not. That's, like, you can't guess that based on, like, the fallen Apple stock. That makes no sense.
Right. Yeah, that was a little silly. did you think the movie left you satisfied? Did it leave you unsatisfied? What did you think?
I really wasn't satisfied with this movie. It just wasn't. Yeah, it just was like, I wanted more answers. I wanted better explanations than what they gave. And, like, you didn't tell me, like, I wanted you to tell me how these things happen, like, better detail. But instead, we're given a bunch of theories and speculation about how these things happened. And it's like, it just wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to support the story that you told me.
Right. Yeah, no, I'd agree. What was it?
And I was like, and it almost was like they were trying to make it a happier ending by having her see the final episode of Friends in the bunker. Like, she finds, I guess she find her finding the bunker, I guess, is a good thing, because, like, okay, she could survive whatever apocalypse is coming. And it's implied that GH, Clay, and the others are going to eventually come to the bunker too, because they mentioned the bunker, and Rosie and Amanda are already looking for, I'm not Rosie and Amanda, Amanda and Ruth are already looking for Rose, so they're nearby. So, like, you know, they're all going to come to that bunker eventually soon. So it's like, they're almost like trying to portray this thing. Oh, they're going to be safe and fine now because they have a safe spot.
But she broke into a random person's house. A little 13-year-old girl just decides to break into some random house. That for me was more of a what are we doing here kind of thing, especially because she didn't want to go anywhere without her brother earlier on. That was like a what are we doing here kind of thing.
I mean, you could argue, like, why did she even leave? Like, it didn't make a whole lot of sense why she left, like,
early in the morning.
The only reason she had for leaving was like because her internet wasn't working, so she couldn't see the last episode of Friends, and that was a big deal to her. So it's like she left to go find the last episode of Friends. It was like, What?
And at this point, she knows we're like in apocalypse mode. Things are going down. And she's singularly focused on finishing her show. That's so good. Oh my gosh. In a terrible way. I thought so. What was it? 2012? Is that the Mayan? When the Mayan calendar went away and they made that whole movie about hypothetically the world just falling apart. Yeah. I was kind of looking for that type of movie when I first picked this one out. I thought, oh, this just came on Netflix. Looking forward to a world apocalypse disaster type of situation. And we pop in this movie, right? We're watching it. And at the end, I just felt cheated. A complete lack of payoff for the movie. Nothing bad actually happens. You know, it's just so much could have been done and just nothing was done. And you just look at it like, okay, yeah, sure. You see nuclear bombs going off in the background. You see ships running aground. You see airplanes collapsing, you know, or crashing. It's, hypothetically, all these bad things are happening. But when you're watching a movie, you're following the story of characters. And in regards to the characters we were following, nothing bad actually happened to them. So, you know, get some dentures for the boy and call it a day.
You know what? I almost feel like I need to redo my review and give it less points because it's like 4.5.
Well, I mean, yeah, would you?
Like, I kind of feel like I would want to take away points from this movie now after our discussion. Like, I'm not sure it deserves a 4.
Well, I do know that at the beginning, I did give a couple things a little higher than they probably deserved, especially in regards to setting. In regards to side characters, things like that. So I definitely was going to take away probably about 0.3, which would just put it just below 4 points for me.
Okay.
So you did sway me a bit. This thing did not deserve a 4 and 4 and a quarter. That's me signing off.
Okay.
And that's it. That's the pod. We hope all of you enjoyed this podcast review. Probably won't enjoy the movie. If you do, leave us a comment, like, and subscribe. We're back next week. We'll see you all then.